자유라 샤모 순다라 샤모 순다라 자유라 샤모 순다라. 비단드 마르바 Act 4 Theft of the Flute. Nandi Mukhi speaks. Lalita said to me, "Friend Nandi Mukhi, when the cows enter the pasture, Krishna quickly goes near Govardhan Hill. Please go there and tell Subal to remind his friend Krishna about Radha." They begin to walk. "Why does Padma come here?" Padma speaks. "Nandi Mukhi, you are very wise. Please tell me what I should do to pacify agitated Chandravali." Nandi Mukhi asks, "Why is she agitated?" Padma replies, "You know, every evening Krishna delights the people of Gokula." Nandi Mukhi says, "Yes, it is so." Padma says, "Nowadays it is hard to find even the fragrance of Krishna in the southern part of Vrindavan." Nandi Mukhi says, "Don't worry. I saw Saibya, her forehead decorated with pictures and designs. I saw Shyama, her chamara hair garlanded with forest flowers. I saw Bhadra, her shoulders decorated with a gunja necklace. Please know that he, who is the teacher of all playful and beautiful girls, must now be the guest of Govardhan Hill." Vrinda, off stage, says, holding in his left hand his friend the flute, a flute that has become the home of waves of sweet music that splash against all the worlds, and with blissful eyes looking for a cave where he may stay, with great love Nandasan slowly walks on the summit of Govardhan Hill. Nandi Mukhi says, "Padma, with this news, please make Chandravali happy. I will go to Subal." And Nandi Mukhi exits. Padma, looking again, says, "Fully aware what is in Karala's heart, Vrinda, the goddess of Vrindavan forest, uses this trick to stop Chandravali." Note, Karala is Chandravali's grandmother. Vrinda off stage says, "Why, like Radha, do you yearn to embrace that wretched madman? Oh, bewildered girl, don't listen to the words of that proud old lady. Don't go outside. Robbing Braja's beautiful girls of the rubies that are in their hearts and his smiling eyes, splendid, restless, and mischievous, Krishna comes." Chandravali enters. Chandravali eagerly looks in all directions and says, "Why does Vrinda lie? Where is Krishna?" And she becomes distraught. Padma approaches her and says in Sanskrit, "Why not drive that terrible forest fire from your heart? Why pollute your bimba fruit lips with those sighs? Oh, beautiful one, making the forest resound with the peacock's calls, Krishna now stays near the village of Sakhistali by the side of Govardhan Hill." Chandravali looks and says, "Is this my dear friend Padma?" She tightly embraces her. "I hope what you say is true." Padma says, "Yes, it is true." Accompanied by Subala, Krishna enters. Krishna says, "Look, look. The faint sun now sets in the peaks of the western mountains. With its faint yawning of darkness, the beginning of evening is very pleasing." Subala says, "Friend, even if you are very happy, if you neglect to milk the cows, what would you gain?" Krishna replies, "Friend, someone described the peacocks to me, and that reminded me of dear Chandravali. Now I yearn to see her." Subal asks, "How did he describe the peacocks?" Krishna said, "He said, look at the circled tail, Chandravali, of this wildly dancing peacock, a tail that eclipses even the rainbow." Subal says, "Please play some sweet music on your flute." And Krishna places the flute to his mouth. Chandravali, hearing the sound of the flute, becomes agitated and says, "Whenever I hear it, that playful rascal flute fills me with wonder." Krishna says, "Friend Subal, today we shall try to please Chandravali." Subal says, "Yes." Padma says, "Look, with a signal from his flute, Krishna, the prince of Gokula, calls you to quickly come to him." Chandravali, looking, says, "My dear friend, the flute, you are actually full of many holes or faults. You are light, hard, juiceless, and full of knots. But what kind of pious activities have engaged you in the service of being kissed by the Lord and embraced by his hands?" Krishna looks ahead and happily says, "Friend, here is Chandravali, the moon which makes my lotus eyes bloom. Beloved, your face is a moon, your fingernails and toenails are moons, and your forehead is a new moon. In truth, you are a host, Avali, of moons, Chandra." Chandravali is very embarrassed at this point. Krishna continues, "Beloved, unable because I was busy killing so many demons to see the moon of your face, I wasted so many nights." Chandravali says, "Handsome one, you are like a bumblebee that always seeks a new companion. Why should you play with us? We are like lotus flowers dried up by your long absence." Krishna says, "Dear Chandravali, whenever I see you, you are always newer and newer. With the nectar of your embrace, please extinguish the flames of separation from you." Padma says, "How can it be that Krishna is burning in separation from my dear friend?" Subal says, "Don't talk like that. As a thirsty chakora bird throws its body before a cooling, water-filled cloud, so my friend, burning in separation from her, always gazes at Chandravali." Krishna says, "Beloved, listen. During our separation, when I was in the forest, there was only one thing to relieve my distress. That thing was full of nectar, cooling to the touch and very sweet. That thing was Radha." Oh, he becomes bewildered. I mean the stream of water. The stream of water. Chandravali, with jealous anger, says, "Go, serve Radha." Krishna says, "Beloved, I said water." Chandravali then says, "Then why did my ears hear something else?" Chandravali turns down her head, which is now red with anger. "Oh Krishna, addicted to giving gifts to others, what is the use of pretending? Now my ears are flooded with the sweetness of those two golden syllables, syllables that enchant the heart." Krishna says, "Oh girl with eyes like a frightened doe, what you say is right. That golden ornament does make your ears very sweet. The beautiful sound of your name arouses my ears, and the golden splendor of your face arouses my eyes." Padma says, "Ah, don't torture yourself by meditating on your misfortune. It is natural that boy in love with Radha will always say the name Radha." Chandravali sighs, "Friend Padma, so it is." Krishna says, "Beloved, please don't worry. Oh girl with a beautiful face, the word Radha means the beautiful full moon shining in the sky. How can I, who stand on the earth, meet the moon?" Padma says, "The moon has only 16 phases, but you are learned in 64 arts. It is not so difficult for you to be the moon's beloved." Krishna, looking with love and respect, says, "O girl with the lotus eyes, when I see in the sky of Chandravali's face the two moons of her cheeks become blackened by this twisted logic, my heart trembles. Agitated with many fears, I cannot be happy." Chandravali says, pretending to be merciful, "Lord, what foolish girl is not delighted by the all-auspicious qualities of you, the life of Gokula's people? Please don't be frightened and needlessly turn from me." Krishna to himself says, "With a sweet face, this very polite girl hides the signs of her ferocious anger." And then openly he says, "Beloved, what is the use of this poison of polite words? The madhvika nectar of angry words is much sweeter." Chandravali says, "Bliss of Gokula, I have no power to show my face before you. I spoke arrogantly. I am an offender. Therefore, I will go home. Krishna, appealing to her, says, Beloved, be kind, be kind. I am folding my hands. Chandrabali says, Oh, handsome one, I speak the truth. Why do you fear I am tricking you? Please give me permission to see the deity of goddess Bhadrakali. So, accompanied by Padma, Chandrabali exits. Krishna says, Friend, the glorious Chandrabali moons I once saw shining in the sky of my heart were attacked by many powerful Rahu planets. I see them no more. Now I stand in darkness. Subal says, Friend, why do you talk like that? No longer need you look at that unpleasant girl. Krishna says, Friend, the nature of great souls is not easy to understand. Honest respect she keeps in the corners of her eyes. Prayer she humbly keeps in her voice. Respectful to me, she politely hides the anger in her heart. Come, entering this grove of Bakula trees, I will plan a strategy to meet Chandrabali again. And then they walk. Friend, this forest path is beautiful with many Bakula trees. Look, look. On the right is a glittering lake. On the left are many small canals in every direction. This water-filled forest of Bakula trees is very pleasant. Note, the word Niradika may also be divided Niradika without Radha. In this way, Sri Radha is mentioned indirectly. Subal to himself says, Now is the chance. Openly, he says, Friend, if Radha were here, it would be very pleasant. Why do you say it would be pleasant without Radha? Note, here Subal assumes the second meaning of the word Niradika without Radha. Krishna, embracing Subal, says, Friend, you say the truth. Radha would make this Bakula forest beautiful. To Lalita, please repeat my words. Subal says, So be it. And then he exits. Padma and Manumangal enter. Manumangal says, Padma, I heard that even though he flattered her with many sweet words, today Chandrabali was not pleased with my friend. Padma replies, Yes, it is true. Manumangal says, Now my friend is unhappy. We should bring the two of them together again. Padma says, Saintly one, you lead and I will follow. Manumangal, looking ahead, says, Padma, look. In this Bakula forest, my dear friend now talks to a bumblebee. Padma says, Saintly one, let us hide in this network of vines and listen to him talk. And they both do that. Remembering Radha, Krishna becomes filled with longing. And he says, I wish my beloved, who is the treasury of the jewel of sweetness, and from the bow of whose raised eyebrows Kamadev shoots arrows of flowers, would become an ornament decorating me. Manumangal says, Padma, with great longing he describes your dear friend. Let us go and bring her at once. Padma answers, Saintly one, without doubt we heard him say he loves her. Krishna again with longing says, The beauty of her face defeats the full moon. Her waist is beautiful with three folds, and Krishna stops in the middle. Note, if the second line is divided, Varaka Chandravali Lasan Madhya, those words mean her face is beautiful, she eclipses Chandravali, her waist is beautiful. Manumangal says, Padma, why should we listen any more? Let us quickly go. And Padma answers, What you say is right. They quickly walk away. Krishna exclaims, When will beautiful Radha embrace my chest? Padma says, O saintly one, this I say, my proud friend may treat Krishna lightly when he goes to her. Please go and tell Krishna this. Madhumangal says, You speak well. Then Madhumangal approaches Krishna and says, Dear friend, by eavesdropping I heard your words of longing. Please order me and I will quickly bring your beloved. Krishna, glorifying and embracing Madhumangal, says, Friend, I bless you. Please, quickly bring her. So, accompanied by Padma, Madhumangal walks off stage. Krishna says, Ah, I am overcome by the yearnings of love. When a bumblebee hums in the grove, my heart thinks it is my beloved's tinkling anklets. When the grass moves in the wind, my heart thinks my beloved has come. So accompanied by Padma and Madhubango, Chandravali enters. Chandravali says, Padma, is that the Bakula forest I see? Padma answers, yes, let us quickly go there, and they walk there. Krishna hears the tinkling of the anklets and says, oh, I am fooled by buzzing of the bees. I foolishly think she has come, and he becomes agitated. When there is a little hope, desire increases. When the clouds come, the Jataka birds cry twice as loud. Krishna becomes very attentive. Why do I hear tinkling ornaments? He cranes his neck with expectation. He is excited. My beloved has come. Krishna rushes to Chandravali's side. Now I see the flowering vine where the bumblebee of my heart flies. Now I see glorious and auspicious Radha who... And Krishna stops in mid-sentence. And then Chandravali angrily glances at Madhubango. Madhubango says, friend Chandravali, you are glorious. Our dear friend describes you. Krishna, surprised, says to himself, ah, why did he bring Chandravali? I will flatter her. Then openly he says, her love awakened, my friend Chandravali has quickly come. Embarrassed, Chandravali places a Vajayanti garland on Krishna's neck. Krishna very joyfully says, by worshipping a single moon, a flock of Chakora birds finds all of its desires fulfilled. O Chandravali, you are a great multitude of moons. Why should the two Chakora birds of my eyes not find bliss in serving you? Madhubango, being very proud, says, friend, now you see how clever I am. Although your virtues are endless, you could not untie your dear friend's knot of jealous anger. I, a reservoir of ever new virtues, untied it. Krishna says, friend, when Kamadeva, who holds a fearsome bow of flowers, considers his six kingly strategies, you are his prime minister of war and peace. Padma, speaking to Madhubango, says, saintly friend, ahead of us are many blossoming jasmine flowers. Come, let us pick them. Padma and Madhubango exit. Krishna to himself says, I think Radha is not in this forest. I will go to another forest. And openly he says, beloved, not far ahead is a Naga Keshara forest, ripe for our amorous pastimes. Let us go there. Chandravali and Krishna exit. Talking to Lalita, Radharani enters. Radha says, friend, look, look. Every direction is covered by terrible darkness. Lalita replies, dear friend, do you wear dark ornaments for secretly meeting someone in the darkness? Radharani says, yes. Lalita glances and smiles and says, a necklace of sapphires decorates your braids. A garland of blue lotus flowers rests on your waterpot breasts. On your limbs is sandalwood paste. Around your eyes is musk. I think that yearning to meet Krishna, you have forgotten the world. Radha says, please don't joke. Quickly show me the path to the Naga Keshara forest. Lalita says, this way, dear friend. And Lalita gingerly walks. Friend, their limbs anointed with dark cosmetics, many saintly girls go to meet Krishna in the Kadamba forest. Alas, alas, the lightning splendor of your limbs has become your enemy. Now it breaks the darkness. Radha says, stop mocking me. Look, the Bakula forest stands before us. She walks quickly and passionately. Then she says, from afar, Krishna's fragrance does not make the nose mad with bliss. The forest is not filled with the splendor of his fingernails and toenails. Dear friend, I suspect your friend wishing to play a joke now hides behind some flowering vine. Lalita says, ah, come, let us examine these Kadamba trees on the left. And Radharani does that and says, Clever, playful rascal, I see you, I see you. Why do you hide your limbs? And Radharani searches everywhere. Lalita says, Friend, give up searching. Come, let us decorate this pastime forest. Radha says, Make a Bakula flower archway in the pastime forest. O lotus-eyed friend, make a couch of blue lotus flowers. Place a cup of Madhvika nectar by the couch. Friend, today Krishna will praise your skill. Lalita does that and says, Ah, look, Krishna is late. Let us enter the forest and wait for him. Radha, agitated, walks about and says, I think that Lord Hari Krishna has been somewhere stopped by Padma, who is devoted to pleasing her friend Chandravali. For this reason, even though we have come to this cottage in the grove, Krishna has not come here to meet us. Alas, the moon is now rising and delighting the eastern direction, which is presided over by Indra, the husband of Palomi. That moon is the enemy of beautiful young girls who desire a secret rendezvous with their lovers. Radha and Lalita exit. Krishna enters, and he looks in all directions and says, The bumblebees are no longer enthused to move along the lotus flowers, and the owls are looking for the trees where their nests are placed. The light of the pole star is gradually fading. Is the sun now eager to rise on the eastern horizon? Walking about, he says, I do not know if Radha will be greatly angry and disappointed because I arrived so late at the rendezvous. He reflects for a moment. Yes, I shall go to the grove of Bakula trees and pick these flowers. Krishna picks some flowers and returns. Radha will certainly say to her friend, Oh friend, even now that cheating boy Madhava Krishna has not come to the rendezvous in this grove of Bakula trees. How will she be able to pass the night in such a great distress? Walking about, Krishna sees the grove of Bakula trees and laments. Radha has thrown away the mixture of betel nuts and camphor, and she has discarded her charming necklace of emeralds. With her fingernails, she has ripped apart the fragrant crown of flowers. In this way, the grove of trees proclaims Radha's great distress, which was caused by my inability to arrive at the place of rendezvous. Walking ahead, he says, This is the altar where Radha worships the sun god. I shall go near it. And he approaches the altar. Radha looks ahead and says, O Lalita, look, your handsome young man is standing near the altar. Lalita says, O friend, become like a stiff golden deity. Krishna says, Here are my beloved Radha and her friend Lalita. I shall go to speak to them. Krishna approaches them and he says, O Lalita, well done, well done. Now I can see how you are an expert teacher in the matter of giving bad advice. At this altar in the grove of Nagakesara trees, you have now initiated me in the vow of staying awake all night. Lalita speaks. Ah, what treachery, what treachery. You did not arrive until the rooster crowed. Resting on this couch of newly blossomed flowers, my friend Radha waited for you in the middle of this grove of Nagakesari trees. In your absence, she considered a fraction of a second to be longer than a kalpa. Krishna speaks with feigned arrogance. Ah, she is expert at deception. Krishna points to the Bakula flowers. Tonight, seeing my grief, this Bakula tree also became unhappy. The flowers of that tree continually drip honey, and they appear to be eyes continually shedding tears. Lalita says, Ah, Krishna is deceptively clever. He used the word kesara to mean both the inner part of the Bakula flowers and also to mean the Naga Kesara flowers. Note, kesara can mean both the inner part of any flower and also the Naga Kesara flower. Krishna pretends to be disgusted and says, O Lalita, please stop this clever playing with words. It is not you who are at fault, but I who desire to befriend such golden-complexioned gopis who are so eager to find fault with me.
Visakha says, "What fault do you see in the gopis?" Note, drishta dosha vihi can be interpreted to mean one who finds fault with others or one who is himself full of fault. Krishna intended the first, and the gopi assumes the second meaning. Krishna speaks, "Look, look! Full of fresh nectarian water, a charming dark cloud has appeared to alleviate the burning heat of the earth. Golden flashes of lightning appear in that cloud for a brief moment only." There's an alternate translation. "Full of the nectarian mellow of conjugal love, the charming dark cloud of Krishna has appeared to alleviate the burning distresses of the earth. The golden flashes of lightning, which are the gopis, stay in that cloud for a brief moment only." Visakha speaks, "It is proper for the delicate gopis to act in that way, for Krishna is as harsh as a thunderbolt." Lalita says, "O Visakha, please listen to this song." Lalita points to a bumblebee. "This Chumbaka creeper is full of yellow flowers as splendid as fresh gold. Running away from this creeper, this bumblebee appears to be like streaks of quickly moving black lightning." In this allegory, Radha is compared to the golden Chumbaka creeper and Krishna to the black bumblebee. Krishna smiles. "You are certainly the queen of all those who are eloquent," Lalita says. "Because you are speaking so proudly and fearlessly, I do not think that you are free from fault." Krishna says, "There is a very truthful common saying that young girls with beautiful crooked eyebrows will not give up their nonsense. Although no one is superior to me, these girls have compared me with their expert, clever words." Lalita says, concealing her actual intention, "Be merciful to Krishna. He is depressed because he has stayed awake all night." Radha glances at Krishna from the corner of her eyes and says, "You are expert at the art of cheating the foolish." Krishna blissfully says, "These blossom Kesara flowers shall decorate your braided hair. Please do not make my efforts go in vain." Krishna opens the package of flowers. "O beloved, look at these Kesara flowers, the best of all fragrant things. I have now become aromatic by holding these flowers." Radha angrily turns away and says, "O Lalita, did you hear that?" Krishna, smiling, says, "O beloved, why have you become so impatient simply because these two words are homonyms? By saying the word Chandravali, I meant camphor." Radha, smiling, says, "Give me the flowers." And Radha extends the corner of her sari. Krishna, looking at Radha's face, says to himself, "Ah, decorated with restlessness, the eyebrows of Radha are expert in the art of violent dancing." Visakha whispers, "O Lalita, look, look, because Radha has aimed the enchanting arrow of her sidelong glance at Krishna, Krishna has become bewildered and he is not aware that he has placed his flute on the edge of Radha's sari along with the package of flowers." Lalita says, "The transcendental coward boys are not able to steal away Krishna's flute, even when he sleeps. The fortunate Radha has nevertheless bewildered Krishna with the art of her sidelong glances, and she has stolen away the flute before his very eyes." Radha to herself says, "This is the same flute which causes the gopis' hands to become numbed when they perform their household duties. At nighttime, this flute attracts the golden-complexioned gopis, even from their husbands' laps. This flute loosens the gopis' tight belts, even in the presence of their superiors. This rascal flute, the property of Krishna, the auspiciousness of Gokula, is now under my control." Madhumangal says from off stage, "Oh dear, you are now looking at my dear friend." Krishna says, "How is it that Madhumangal is coming here?" Madhumangal enters holding a garland in his hand. Madhumangal says, "I have heard from the mouth of Subal that Radha is staying awake in the middle of the forest. I have therefore come here to give her courage." Madhumangal approaches Radha and says, "My dear friend Radha, Krishna appears very handsome, garlanded with many forest flowers." He wears glistening golden bracelets, and his limbs bear many decorative lines drawn in colorful mineral pigments. He is the supreme monarch of all the worlds. How is it that, attracted by the wave of your sidelong glance, he has become stunned and now appears as a great black stone? Radharani smiles. Krishna says, O beloved, my friend Madhu Mangal knows how I have become unhappy by the arrival of night. Radha says, O noble boy, you have shown great skill in the art of loving affairs, and in this way you've instructed me in the art of how to expertly cross over the great ocean, which is this forest. Madhu Mangal says, It is right that you rebuke us. You must have remained awake thinking the movements of the creepers was due to the wild animals in the forest. All glories to you. Now you know there are no wild animals here. In this forest there is only my dear friend Krishna. Now free from any fear, you can go home and go to sleep. Radhika says, Noble sir, why do you speak in this way? When I can no longer see in the moonlight of Krishna's toenails in this forest, then the ordinary moonlight overwhelms me and I become filled with despair. Madhu Mangal to himself says, Alas, Radha has seen Chandravali meet Krishna in this forest grove. I will give up trying to cheat her. I shall simply flatter her. He openly says, O beautiful girl, when he could not see you, Gokula's prince Krishna became filled with despair. In that condition, Chandravali... Halfway through Madhu Mangal's verse, Krishna knits his eyebrows, signaling him to stop. Struck with wonder, everyone gazes at each other. Madhu Mangal to himself says, Alas, alas, I'm a Brahmin boy who has spoken very recklessly. Krishna, reflecting, says, I've had a long night. Madhu Mangal is so exhausted that his throat is now choked with tears. I shall complete the verse he has begun. Then he smiles. Madhu Mangal meant to say, the shining of the moon entered the corner of his eyes and reminded him of Radha. Only in this way was Krishna able to pass the night. Madhu Mangal says, Dear friend, you are omniscient. Why should you not know the second half of the verse I kept in my heart? Lalita says, Radha, now you are bewildered. Look at how the handsome limbs of this rake bear the marks of amorous pastimes. Angry, she says, My dear girl, turn your heart from this Krishna whose chest is as splendid as sapphire and whose sidelong glances rest on the breasts of the young girls of Gokula. Do we not already know how this rake Krishna attracts respectable girls, pollutes them, and then fearlessly leaves them? Krishna says, Beloved, you rebuke me without any good reason. Radha taunts him and says, I know that your eyes are red because some pollen fell in them when, without blinking, you searched for the path to come to me, and I know that the wound on your bimba fruit lips was created by the cold forest wind. My lord, do not be afraid. I am not criticizing you. I have already been attacked by my own destiny. Krishna says, Beloved, I am your submissive servant. My desire is to decorate you with ornaments. Radha says, In all the world you are famous as the supreme independent. How is it possible for you to become the submissive dependent servant of me? Krishna says, I am not alone in being your surrendered servant. My 10 incarnations are also your servants. My fish incarnation, Matsya, serves the restless fish of your eyes. My turtle incarnation, Kurma, serves the 2 beautiful turtles of your breasts. My boar incarnation, Varaha, serves the line of hairs between your breasts. My Nrisinga incarnation, who delights Prahlad Maharaj, serves your delightful lips. My Vamana incarnation, who bound Bali Maharaj with ropes, serves your waist, which is with the folds of skin known as Tri Bali. My incarnation of Ramachandra, Parasuram, and Balaram are subdued by the beauty of your face, which also defeats the splendor of all beautiful girls. My incarnation of Buddha serves the loveliness of your body. O noble girl, my incarnation of Kalki serves the crooked anger you harbor in your heart. Radha says, Ah, Lalita, now you have heard. Lalita says, O Krishna, your incarnations all remain within your own self. We can clearly see the symptoms of these incarnations in your character. You possess the restlessness of Matsya, the hardness of Kurma, Vraha's touching the earth, the cruel fingernails of Nrsingha, the ferocity of Parasuram, the power to crush Ravana of Ramchandra, the continual drunkenness of Balaram, Buddha's wish to stop Vedic sacrifices, and Kalki's pastime of attacking with a raised sword. In this way, Matsya and the other incarnations are all present within you. Krishna, smiling, says, "Friend, look, look! Lalita has become unfriendly. Radha has become my enemy. I am now burning in pain, and the branchless tree named Vishaka is unable to give me any shade." Taking a garland of mali flowers from the hand of Madhu Mangal, Krishna bows down before Radha and speaks the following prayer. "O Radha, this very precious, splendid, exquisitely delicate and fragrant garland is like the pathway that leads to your heart. I pray that this garland may become like a celestial Ganges river that beautifies the Lord Shiva's head of your breasts, which are the abode of the crescent moon of passionate conjugal fingernail scratches." Moving his eyebrows, Krishna tries to gain Vishaka's sympathy. He hands the garland to her, and she in turn places the garland before Radha. Vishaka says, "O slender girl, when your lotus eyes are briefly separated from Lord Krishna, then you immediately feel each moment to be as long as many millenniums. How is it right for you to be so adverse to Lord Krishna, the Maharaj Indra who enjoys transcendental pastimes in the cottage and Kadamba groves of Vrindavan forest?" Radha angrily says, "Go away, fool. Go away." Krishna says, "O moon-faced girl, his peacock feather crown covered with dust, your lover repeatedly bows down before you. He begs for the sweetness of your sidelong glance." Lalita says, "Radha, turn your neck at once. Noble Jatila calls you from behind." And Radha does that. Then Mukura enters. Mukura glances at Krishna and says, "This is the Krishna who lures the gopis from their homes and into the forest and makes them forget the love of their relatives. O honest daughter, you have now fallen into the hands of this Krishna, who is more expert than a host of debauchees." Madhu Mangal says, "O friend, the wind blows through the mouth of this talkative old lady. She is as empty as the hollow shaft of your flute. Why should you stay here?" Krishna says, "Friend, where is my flute?" Madhu Mangal answers, "You know, where is it?" Krishna says, "Radha has stolen it. How can I leave without it?" Madhu Mangal, joking, says, "Ah, we are lucky these beautiful girls did not steal you. Let the flute stay here. Let us simply run for our lives." Krishna smiles and says, "Talkative friend, stop." He walks. "O beautiful girl, you are a very expert thief. O moon-faced girl, you have stolen my flute." Note, the word Bindu Yutaka is also the name of a literary ornament where two words are employed identically except for the letter M. The use of the words Vasi and Vamsi in this verse is an example of Bindu Chutaka. Radha knits her eyebrows and says, "Give up these crooked accusations. Who knows what happened to your flute?" Lalita says, "No gopi steals another's wealth. We are pious and honest. Please do not needlessly accuse us." She stops after the first half of the verse. Krishna says, "Friend Lalita, please be kind. Show some civilized gentleness to your friend." Lalita says, "Enough of this talk. Quickly go home. Oh, scoundrel, how can we guarantee that you will eventually regain your flute?" Radha approaches the old lady and says, "O noble lady, you have seen the character of your grandson. This person is accusing us of being a thief." Mukura angrily says, "O Krishna, I know the truth. You have come here only to mock my granddaughter Radhika." Madhu Mangal says, "O disreputable woman who speaks harsh words, Your granddaughter stole the flute, and now she takes shelter of you, the fortress, to protect her. Krishna says, O noble Mukura, my friend speaks the truth. Mukura says, O Radhika, is this true? Radha says, O noble lady, in this Vrindavan forest, have I ever taken even a handful of 8 bamboo sticks for firewood? Smiling, Krishna says, O fair-complexioned, angry goddess, if you have not actually stolen my flute, then why, as you tell this story, has your sidelong glance, restlessly swinging to and fro on your cheeks, suddenly blossomed from the flower bud of your smile? Mukura, with anger, says, Rogue! Even though this girl is the chaste wife of Abhimanyu, and even though she should be respected and even worshipped by you, you still insist on mocking her in this way. Madhumangal says, Mukura, I swear on my Brahmin's thread, today I have seen my dear friend Krishna place his crown on the ground as he bowed down before Radhika. Mukura blissfully says, That act will increase his piety. And everyone smiles. Mukura says, Krishna, by not being responsible in protecting the cows, you have made the cowherd King Nanda very unhappy. Go now and look after the cows. Krishna says, O noble lady, without my flute, it will be very difficult to call to the transcendental cows. Lalita says, You mean girls, not cows. Why don't you speak in a straightforward way? Krishna says, O Lalita, the presence of elderly Mukura has given strength to you girls. How can I debate with you? Mukura says, angrily, My granddaughter is a young girl, and you, rogue, are not afraid to break the rules of religion. I am an old lady, and even in midday I cannot see very clearly. O son of Nanda, if you do not leave my doorstep at once, then I shall not be at fault when I take the path to Mathura City. Note, in this last sentence, Mukura threatens to lodge a complaint with King Kangsa in Mathura City. Madhumangal, in anger, says, Foul-mouthed old lady, what do we have to fear from Kamsa? You may go to the king in Mathura. Mukura says, bluffing, Stop, I shall take my granddaughter and go to the king's assembly hall. Followed by Radharani and the others, she exits. Krishna says, Friend, come here. Let us go to the shore of the Yamuna and look for the cows. Krishna walks, craning his neck. He looks and he says with a sigh, One moment she is peaceful, and the next moment she is restless. One moment she neglects me, and the next moment she is very eager to talk with me. One moment she looks at me with a pure, innocent glance, and the next moment she looks at me with passionate, roving glance from the corner of her eye. Her heart agitated with both anger and love, this Radha is divided in two. Then everyone exits.